A workshop today in the downtown of Prince George takes on a heavy topic: human trafficking and the sexual exploitation of Aboriginal youth. Jeanette McInnes is the Director of Health for the BC Association of Aboriginal Friendship Centres. She's also running this workshop, and she's in the Prince George studio this morning to tell me more about it. Hello, Jeanette. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Although this is a very troubling topic, can you start by giving me a snapshot? What's happening in the north with trafficking and Aboriginal youth?
Trafficking and sexual exploitation have always been around, but it's increasing exponentially due to the growth in the industry. So where you see money, you also see drugs, and then you also see the sexual exploitation of youth happen.
And why are Aboriginal youth more and more the target?
More and more because Aboriginal youth are vulnerable. I mean, exploiters will always find a vulnerable person, and a lot of our youth are still living in vulnerable homes and are still looking for connection and to fit in, and so they're really easy targets for recruiters.
So tell me a little bit more about how this is happening. Like, can you give me a sense about how it goes from a predator to, you know, finding an at-risk youth or somebody who's more vulnerable? What's happening and why is it happening so frequently?
Well, first off, because of the internet, obviously online recruitment has gone up quite a bit. It's really easy to start a conversation with a youth online and then slowly groom them to trust you and move them into a location, like have them come meet you. And so the youth will leave their home community and go to meet someone, and it's actually a recruiter. But it's also turning out that more and more girls are recruiting girls.
Really?
Yeah, they're being used by pimps, we'll say pimps, and they're being used to do the recruitment themselves because it keeps the pimp at an arm's length.
And not only that, but as a young girl, I would probably trust another girl in favor of a strange man.
Exactly. So if you're a young girl and you're kind of shy and you have some problems at home and some other girl close to your age starts, you know, telling you that you're pretty and, oh, I know how we can have some fun. A young girl is very vulnerable that way and looking to fit in and find a new friend. And next thing you know, she's being introduced to a bunch of people. And it's not like they throw her immediately into the sex trade. But, I mean, they'll start partying and drugs and alcohol. And eventually she's going to have to pay them back. Or at least that's how they would coerce her to pay them back.
So then is this trickery, or is there something happening at the societal level for some of these Aboriginal youth who just don't feel like they have a place in their home community?
I think right now youth in general, whether they're Aboriginal or non-Aboriginal, are always inundated with sexual images online on TV. So first off, there's also a different kind of mindset towards mm-hmm. sex than it used to be when I was a teenager. So what they think is normal is actually exploitation now. So I really find that we're trying to teach them through this workshop that things aren't normal. Like if someone's asking you to do a sexual act for food, shelter, clothing, for drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, that is not a normal thing. And it has become normalized, and children do not know that they're being exploited.
Right. Now, you've done this workshop in some other northern communities. What was the response when you shared that this was not normal?
We try to make it a little bit fun. It's a serious topic, so to have the youth interact, we try to make it a little bit fun. But they are aware that they're being targeted. I mean, they have talked about, you know, being approached by men on the street. So it's not like it's not happening. They know, and they're as open as they can be. I mean, they're not going to tell me everything, obviously, but they have opened up about incidences that happen.
It's, of course, important to empower young people to stand strong against this kind of abuse. But what about the bigger society? Do people not know about this issue, or do they not want to talk about it?
I think people do not know. I think that they find that human trafficking is something that they see in a movie and it happens internationally, and it's only when you move across borders. And that is not what human trafficking is. Human trafficking is to control someone. And they do that by force, fraud, coercion. And that is trafficking. You do not have to move across a border. You do not actually even have to move the victim anywhere. It's controlling their movements. And that's usually, they can control their movements in the town that they're living in. And sexual exploitation, I think they turn a blind eye to it. When they see a young girl on the street, they just think automatically that she's a prostitute and she chose that life. No 15, 16, or 17-year-old chooses to be a prostitute. They are somehow exploited into it.
With today's event, what do you hope that the young people are going to take from it? What do you hope they'll do if they're confronted with an instance like the one you were just describing?
Well, we're going to talk about tools to combat those kinds of tricks, but also about empowering them to be, keep their lives full. So we do a medicine wheel kind of activity where we're teaching them how to keep your all four quadrants of the medicine wheel full so that you are a happy, healthy individual. And really, that's the most important thing for our youth is to, if you're having a bad day, how can you make it better? How can you not fall prey to somebody who's trying to trick you into something?
Finally, how can young people take part in today's workshop?
Well, we have registration forms. We will take youth if they show up today, hoping more will come. The more the merrier, as far as I'm concerned. So we will start in about half an hour. But we'll talk about the issues. They'll interact. They get to do some presentations for me to see if they're understanding the issue and how we present it. So it's actually a lot of fun, and the youth are always willing to take part, and it's really amazing to listen to their stories.
Well, Jeanette, you do some powerful work, I'm sure, and thanks for raising our awareness about the issue today.
Thank you very much.